are smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air.
Hands are
all
us.
They need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
Let us not waste a moment, because it's hour number two of Garden Talk, live at KSRO with Gwen Kilcher and Steve Garner, as always in the KSRO greenhouse this morning. Good morning, Gwen. Welcome back.
Hi, Steve. Long time no see.
Want to remind folks that maybe missed hour number one and forgot to put this on the calendar that the 36th annual Bonsai Show is happening today, sponsored by the Redwood Empire Bonsai Society. This is the largest chapter in all of California. It's quite a remarkable organization that's been around since 1981. We've had the pleasure of having the folks from the Bonsai Society on the show for over 25 years. And this year's show is today and tomorrow, 10 to 5 today, 10 to 4 tomorrow, at the Veterans Building. That's right across from the fairgrounds here in Santa Rosa. There'll be a fantastic display and demo by Kathy Shaner, who's a bonsai master. The demo's from 1 to 3 today. You really should catch Kathy's demos if you're going to the show. It's free. There's demonstration trees. It'll be raffled. There's a huge bonsai vendor area, large member trees area, an exciting silent auction. Buy it now. There's also demos about if you're having problems with bonsai, you can bring the plants. Remember
Art Kopecky said
you could bring a bonsai in distress, and they'll have one of the experts take a look at it for you and give you some feedback. It's, as I mentioned, free admission, free parking, too, and free refreshments by the Bonsai Cafe. I ate about two dozen cookies last year when I was there with some coffee and tea. It was just wonderful.
Terrible.
And the San Francisco Sosekai Stone exhibit is going to be on display too. It's really well worth going to if you have no interest in bonsai whatsoever, but you need an hour of de-stressing. Just walking around the beautiful displays, they're so artistic, they're so uplifting, and the folks that are members of the society are very interactive and conversational and would love to chat with you.
And some of those specimens are so old.
You can't believe what you'll see.
Yeah.
Some of the fruit tree bonsais that have miniature persimmons, miniature fruit on them, is mind-blowing. A lot of them are in full flower, too, during this August season. So head over to the Bonsai Show today or tomorrow and tell them Garden Talk sent you.
Sounds good. Yeah.
636-1350, if you'd like to reach us this morning on the show, we would love to hear from you. We heard back from Lisa about her Pride of Madeira. Says, hi, Gwen and Steve. Thanks so much for your advice last hour. Sorry I didn't mention the irrigation system. I have the citrus trees and the fern pines to the left on a different line, zone watering every couple days. The drought-tolerant zone only gets the water once a week, and I have the candy cans and the succulents on drippers, but you're probably right. That plant is at the bottom of the slope, so it's probably getting more runoff underground. The ground's really hard down there, and the leaves are definitely not crumbly to the touch. Probably root rot. Might be planted a touch too low. Here's the yard. Thanks for all your advice. And she has a beautiful landscaping up in the Fountain Grove area.
Yeah, it's nice. If it's planted too deep, and it is getting water, those stems are staying wet for too long, so they're starting to rot away. And then maybe there's the root rot going on, because when she dug the hole and she filled it with the cactus mix, the water runs right through there, but it sits at the bottom of the planting hole and perhaps backs up, or excess water from runoff from the hill above. So it'd be really interesting when she digs that plant out to see what the root system looks like, and see what that hole looks like, how wet it is or not, and then you'll know, and then you'll have to change your watering system there, or just not plant anything there. you know, just put a rock on top of the ground and there you go. Call it good. Because the garden is so beautiful, I don't think anybody will miss that one plant. Although it is big and beautiful with those purple flowers. So there's a reason why she planted that there. So, you know, go ahead and plant it again. But don't mix in a lot of that cactus mix. Mm-hmm. And maybe drill further down, break through more of the clay soil in the ground. It could be hard pan that she hit. That's another reason why the water doesn't drain very well. So if that be the case, you know, break through that so then the water can go through and it doesn't sit and back up in the planting hole.
Judy was unable to call us back this hour, but she did email us about her hydrangea. Sorry, won't be able to call. I did add compost to the hole when I put the hydrangea in, about 50-50 soil and compost blend. Hydrangea gets no direct sun, and I water it about every 3 days with the hose and just pouring on it for about 3 or 4 minutes. But it just seems to wilt very fast. Anything else you want to add for Judy?
What the heck? Sounds like she's doing very well. And three times every 3 days is a lot of water for a hydrangea, especially when she's added this compost. So my question will be, how hot does it get over there in that area where this hydrangea is planted? Because the leaves could be wilting just because it's so dang hot and it doesn't like it. And then, you know, if you keep an eye on this plant and you see during the middle of the day the leaves are wilting, but then they perk up again when the temperature starts to cool off later in the day. Just like squash plants, you'll see the leaves, the big leaves just drooping in the middle of the day. And then in the evening, they perk back up again because they don't like the heat. So maybe this hydrangea is in an area where, yeah, it doesn't get direct sun, but it's got some heat reflection or something going on around it. And it's in a little hot pocket. And then that's why it wilts. So before you get out there and water this plant every 3 days, you know, stick your fingers down in the soil and see if the soil's wet. And if it is, or if you use a moisture meter and the soil is wet and the leaves are wilting, it's not a watering problem. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't like the heat. And so when the weather cools down, it perks up. And so this might be just a temporary thing.
There you have it, Judy. Good luck with your hydrangea. Debbie would like to chat berries over in Sebastopol. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Good morning, Debbie.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the conversation on the hydrangeas.
Sure.
And what we've done with ours, with some of the wilting problems and the extreme heat, is we've put them in wine barrels, and they look like they're in a vase with just this plethora of flowers. They're gorgeous. And we haven't had problems with watering, so that was our solution to something like that. But why I was calling was because of the berries.
Mm-hmm.
We have a section in our orchard where we have berries. And we have some golden, I guess they're raspberries, and they're mixed in with some other various berries. And I'm understanding that different berries need different amounts of water. And what I'm seeing is some of the berries are already really looking dried out, like they're going to sleep for the winter. And yet another limb on that same branch or same root is still producing berries. What do you think that is? Overwatering, underwatering? I don't know.
Are these all raspberries you're talking about?
Yeah, it's a variety of berries. I wished I knew which they all were. I know that we have some blackberries, and we have different rows of these. And over the years, we've just been putting berries in. So the ones I'm specifically, I think, talking about right now are the ones, the golden raspberries, because I'm noticing I'm getting the berries on the very ends and picking them off, but yet I'll see other limbs coming out of that same root structure that are brown, and it looks like they should be cut out of there. I've not seen that before.
Well, the raspberries will send out a cane, and they produce flowers and then fruit, and depending on the variety, how long you'll be getting berries. And in the meantime, during the growing season, they'll send up some other shoots. And those won't do anything. They're just going to grow, and they'll get taller and taller. And then the winter comes, and then they die down. And the canes that had produced the fruit, you can cut them to the ground and get rid of them. And then the new shoots that were coming up that year will produce fruit the following year. okay?
Oh,
but if those young guys that are coming up now are turning brown on you, it could be that, especially this golden variety that you have, probably doesn't like the full sun, you know, all day long, especially when we hit 100 plus degrees, they get scorched. And so they would prefer to have a little bit of afternoon shade on them or a little bit of filtered sun or something because they just don't like that hot.
So then I could hang some shade cloth on one side in the afternoon to help to reduce the direct heat on them then.
Yeah. And then before you go out and start adding more water to them, check the soil, because if the soil is damp, adding more water is not going to help anything at all. Okay?
Okay, so my question with the long, long shoots that are coming out of some of the blackberries then that are, in some instances, 8 feet in length.
Wow.
And they're hard to walk between the rows because they're just Jack and the Beanstalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been cutting those off. So am I hearing you say that they'll come back as berries next year and I shouldn't be cutting those off in the midst of all the other branches that are producing right now?
Theoretically, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
you should
goodness.
Have those on like trellises or wires or something where you tie those long canes to the wires so then you can walk up and down your walkway easily without getting hit in the face with all those long canes. It's like a climbing rose bush. You can't just plant it in the middle of the garden and then it's going to grow, you know, 20 feet or 15 feet and it just flops over anywhere it wants to go. You need to put it up and tie it on and have it grow and direct its growth on something, right?
Well, thank you.
So the same, the same thing with these berries. Just tie those canes back onto whatever structure you have, you know, that's, you
know. That we're now going to have to build.
Oh, so you just have them free. They're growing freely.
They're free range. Free range.
Free range. Oh, yeah. You can, you know, get some metal T-posts and, you know, put them in every 6 feet or 5 feet, whatever, and you can get some thick wire. And, you know, you can have some rows of wire, maybe, you know, 1 foot increments growing up as high as you want. And then you can train them to go wherever you want. But the thing is with that is that, you know, you have to. You're going to be cutting back those canes that already flowered, or you can even try cutting them back halfway and then see what they do next year, because the problem is you tie them up and then you're cutting them off and, you know, it's a high maintenance thing.
Yeah.
Or if you can just, you know, put wires or something on either side of the berries, if they're growing in the rows, on either side, so when they start to flop over, they'll hit the wire.
Yeah.
And then they won't fall completely into the walkway. They'll be blocked by that wire. So, you know, you're holding them up.
I appreciate this very much. I'm actually going to go and tell my husband that this to-do came from you.
Uh-oh.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome, Debbie. Yeah, have fun.
Okay.
Have fun. But it's great. They're growing like that, so big. But the golden berries, they like a little bit of afternoon shade.
Thank you.
All right. Have
Thanks,
fun.
Debbie. Good to hear from you. And give us a call back if you're so inclined in the next week or two and see if you convinced Mr. Sebastopol Berry to follow Gwen's advice. Or
if he has any questions, I'm busy.
636-1350 to reach us live in the KSRO greenhouse, just as Debbie has done. No one on hold at this moment. Easy to get in with a question or comment. Or shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. Steffi has sent us an email questioning a show we had a number of weeks ago. And she writes, "Hi, Steve and Gwen. A few weeks ago, I missed your show where you talked about roses in barrels. Can you and Gwen mention a good rose for barrels, and once again, planting mix or potting soil, and do brands matter? Thanks again for your expert advice." And the show that Jerry's referring to was our show that we did with Greg Lowry, Greg, the founder of Friends of Vintage Roses, who owned a magnificent rose establishment for many, many years in Sebastopol. And he sat in with us, and actually Greg addressed some ideas for best roses in barrels. Do you remember those, Gwen?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, he talked about China roses. So that's just a type of rose that there's many varieties out there. So, you know, I would get
and
on...
And they said they grew 3 to 4 feet.
So well, it depends.
You can keep them at 3 or 4 feet.
You can, yeah. But, you know, we don't want to get out there and have to keep pruning and pruning roses. So, you know, figure out what area you're going to put your barrels in and how big the roses can get. Because some of them can get to be a good size. And you're only going to put in one rose per wine barrel. I'm assuming that's a half a wine barrel. And you asked about planting mix or potting soil. You know, sometimes those words are used interchangeably. But for the most part, a planting mix is good for outdoor containers, and potting soil you usually find works better for houseplants. So your favorite nursery should have, you know, big bags of a good quality planting mix. You can go with that, and you don't need to add any fertilizers or amendments or anything like that. That soil in the bag is good to go as it is, and you just keep an eye on your rose bush, and you might have to fertilize it next spring or whatnot. He wants to know if brands matter. Yeah, the more expensive the soil, really, I think, the better the soil. You spend $2 on a two cubic foot bag of soil, you're probably going to have, you know, the not the best products in there. So basically, you get what you pay for. So I hope that helps. Even if you wanted to plant a hybrid tea rose, the grandiflores, floribundas, you know, a big miniature rose, just because they're miniature flowers doesn't mean the plant is miniature. You can have a good size rose bush with miniature flowers on them. So depending on what you want to do with the roses, you want to cut them and bring them indoors. Do you want, like Greg had said, do you want fragrance? Do you want color, you know, what's important to you? So you can wait until bare root season when the nurseries have an abundance of roses to choose from, and have fun in the meantime thinking of the colors that you want, what you want to do with the roses, where you're going to plant them. And then
so if she goes online and looks, types in China roses, will that come up as a category?
Yeah, you'll have a lot of different varieties coming up, like hybrid teas. Punch in hybrid tea roses, you'll get 10,000 varieties of hybrid tea roses. So China roses are an old rose, and there's quite a few varieties, and they're all known for their fragrant flower, most of them for their fragrance.
There's your answer, Steph. If you need more information, give us a call or shoot us an email. We'll take a call when we come back. Mitch would like a word with us, 636-1350. Plenty of open lines, and of course you can always reach us via email. At 11:05, it's Chef John Ash and Steve in the KSRO kitchen. We welcome Dr. Paul Friedman, who's written a landmark book, The 10 Restaurants That Changed America Dining.
Pengrove, here's FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team once again has won first place at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. That makes it 15 years in a row. We have a bunch of beautiful award-winning azaleas left from the Sonoma County Fair, and we're offering them to the public. $15 each or two for $25 for a limited time while supplies last. The produce stand is open. We have heirloom tomatoes, including Cherokee Purple, Green Zebra, San Marzano, and Violet Jasper Cherries.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
The weekend's almost here. Oh, and you know there's something you've been wanting to do. Taking a little test drive. So come on, get in your car and drive straight to Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries for a furniture test drive. Find a whole showroom of great deals during their weekend of savings. Take a spin on the recliners. Let a love seat hug your curves. Or look for something with a little more pep. A sofa in a fabulous new color. And revel in the fact that you're getting great deals. During their weekend of savings, you'll save on entertainment centers, sofas, chairs, tables, all you need to rev up any room. But only this weekend, and only at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. So, come take a furniture test drive.
Don't you just love the smell of new leather?
Celebrate Labor Day early with up to 20% off and 0% financing till 2023. Save on custom orders, in-stock items, and more. Plus, up to 20% off and free financing till 2023 with minimum purchase and approved credit. Going on now at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries on Santa Rosa Avenue.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgeadair.com. That's georgeadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So glad you could tune in this morning and listen to the show via email, or if you're listening to us online, or via the old conventional AM/FM route. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher in the KSRO greenhouse for Garden Talk this morning. We'd love to hear from you at 636-1350. Open lines, plenty of time to chat about what's going right or wrong in your garden. We always like to hear success stories, too, because we're mainly focused on problem solving, but we know there's a lot of extraordinary success stories out there that we hope you'll share with us and our listeners. Or if you prefer, email steve@ksro.com. Mitch, what can we do for you and your nectarines?
Well, I love hearing you speak off record when your mics are on, but I do have old okra seeds because I'm an old okra guy, Gwen.
No wonder, because
so I got all of it, and you're right. So in terms of what my specific question is today, greetings and salutations. I have a Snow Queen on Lavelle nectarine tree that you coached me through the leaf curl. My question pertains to pruning. The lower part of the tree, I think, is the Snow Queen, and the top part is the Lavelle, and there is a tremendous amount of branches coming off of the bottom of the tree that is about maybe 6 feet tall, and I'm not sure how much to prune off the bottom, or should I let those long branches keep growing till it's the right time to prune?
Did they produce any fruit for you?
Yes, they did. And
okay.
Maybe 20 nectarines that were maybe the size of tennis balls, but I share them with my scrub jays who I love and hate. So it did produce, but it's the bottom part of the thing is so vociferous in terms of how much foliage there is, and I didn't know if I should trim all those bottom branches off and let it grow from the top up, or just leave them and prune them back a little bit when it's the right time to do that, Gwen.
Well, in the wintertime, you'll want to prune them back. You know, you'll see how long those branches are, and with nectarines and peaches, ideally you prune them back about a third to half, okay? And then they'll send up some side branches off of that branch that you cut, because you don't want them to get too long, because the weight of the fruit, and they're just going to snap the branch. And those branches are kind of flimsy to begin with, so you want to keep the branches short and, you know, many branches off of the main branch. But everybody, you know, kind of close to the tree, to the trunk of the tree. So you can do a little bit of pruning now to cut them back, but you don't want to do too much pruning, because that tree needs all that foliage right now to help feed the tree and put all the energy back into it to get it through the winter, and then it'll have enough energy to produce flowers and fruit for next year. So if you have to prune back any branches, then you can do some now. But if you don't have to, don't worry about it now and just wait until winter when they drop their leaves, and then you can prune back, you know, cut back halfway. Okay?
Okay, but don't take all the branches off of the lower. And mind you, again, that it's only maybe a 6-foot fruit tree.
Yeah.
So don't denude the plant. My thought was to cut all the branches off at the base of the plant completely, but you're saying just prune them back a third and let them go.
You mean prune the branches back to the trunk of the tree?
Well,
right?
I was thinking that I should cut them all off, but no, that's not what I'm hearing.
No, you don't want to cut them off all the way to the trunk, then there goes all your fruit. Right?
Okay.
So, no, keep all those branches there. Plus, you don't want that tree to be top-heavy either. Mm-hmm. If you have all the growth growing at the top of the tree and then there's nothing towards the bottom part of the tree. Plus, it makes for easier picking when the fruit's lower to the ground than up high. So, just you want to keep that tree in a nice, prune it so it's balanced looking too. Like I said, you don't want, you know, if you cut all the branches off the bottom and it's all on the top, the tree's probably going to snap in half. So... Okay.
So I guess what you're saying is it's okay in life to pick the low-hanging fruit?
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Okay. You've coached me through many of a conundrum. And then last question, how are your tomatoes doing this year? Mine are pathetic.
Oh, no, mine are doing okay, except the heirloom varieties I had mentioned a couple weeks ago. I think they have some verticillium wilt or something because I planted the heirlooms for so many years in my garden that something's built up in the soil. So they're doing okay, but the hybrid varieties are doing a lot better. So,
okay.
Except for this one heirloom, which you love, the chocolate stripe that you brought.
Yeah,
in
chocolate stripes, and that Snow White.
And Snow White cherry is doing great.
But you know, we have. Are you planting your tomatoes in the same spot every year?
No.
Okay.
In fact, I did something very odd. I only planted one in my raised bed this year, and planted the rest of them in 30-gallon containers and wine barrels, and. I don't know. It just seems they grow better in the dirt. But
in
this time last year, I was picking 20 or 30 every week. And now I look on my counter, I'm going, oh, man, I ain't got no tomatoes for some pasta. So.
Do you have the same? Are you using the same soil as you did last year, or did you dump that soil out?
No. No, I take it out and dump it into my compost pile with all the other extraneous materials I put in there and then leave it for a year before I use it.
And you got a good planting mix then for this year?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Did you add anything else to it before you planted those tomatoes?
No, the only thing that I do is add in the containers is, it's not vermiculite, it's something that other people grow other things in to take a little bit of the density out of the soil, and so the pot isn't just full of soil.
Perlite? Vermiculite?
Yes, perlite. Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't add that anymore. That's just wasted space. No, that's, you have a nice potting mix or planting mix that you got. It has everything in it. It's good to grow. You don't need to add anything else to it. If you wanted, you could add a little bit more compost if you had it handy and you wanted to do something with it. Otherwise, adding perlite or vermiculite, that's just going to help with drainage. And it's not needed. It's not needed at all.
Thanks, Mitch.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
Our pleasure. As always, great talking with you. Let's head up to Windsor. Pat would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. I'm calling about my salvia, which has had a beautiful summer. It's was a wonderful, long, tall, big purple flowers. I don't exactly know which it is. I think it might be Nemorosa, but anyway, it is finished. And so on the bushes, the plants, I have about 25 of them. The bottoms are getting thin. In other words, the leaves are kind of disappearing. Can I just cut it up now, cut it off completely like I would do in the winter?
You can if it's definitely finished flowering. But this isn't the Mexican salvia?
No.
No, it's not. It's, what did you call it? You thought it was...
Oh, Nemorosa. It's the very strong purple.
Yeah, okay. You know...
When you talk about Mexican salvia, are you talking about the sage, the one that's a purple, light lavender?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. You know, it's a big shrub.
No, it's not that. Okay. It's not that. It's the very deep purple salvia.
Yeah, okay. A little bit more upright growing, tall.
Straight up. Straight
okay.
up.
Okay, for that variety, I would only cut off, I would cut it back like halfway. So you cut off the dead flowers.
Okay.
And then leave it alone. Okay, because sometimes when we get some really cold winters, you know, down into the, you know, mid-20s or so, it could have some frost damage done to it.
Right. Mm.
So leave it then until spring. You'll see what's green and what's coming up and what's beautiful and then what's dying back. And that's when you're going to be doing a lot of your pruning. To get out all that old, dead stuff.
Okay.
But for right now, you're just going to, you know, cut that stem halfway back. And if you cut above two little leaves, you might get some branching that might give you a couple more flowers.
Maybe. But as I said, the bottom's getting very shabby looking.
Yeah, they do that, though. They do that. You could get a broom, you know, a nice little soft broom. Long-handled broom, and just go there and just, you know, kind of brush the bottoms of the plants off. But that's what that plant does. You know, these perennials, they are short-lived, and then they start to get shaggy and leggy and yucky-looking, and then you're like, okay, I'm done with you, and you can, you know, even if you did cut it to the ground, sometimes they don't like that. They don't have enough energy to come back again.
Yeah.
So then you could just pull them out and replant them again.
Right. Okay. So, can I ask you about also gazania?
Gazanias, yeah. Yeah.
Same thing. They're all kind of finished.
Yeah. Yeah, those are another, depending on the variety, some of the old-fashioned ones seem to hang in there forever. Some of these new varieties with all the fancy colors and whatnot, and they stay in clumps, they look good for about 2 years or so, and then they start to peter out. So I have some of them like that. And it's kind of disappointing, and I am going to pull those things out. I am not going to replace them with those because I want something that's going to last a little bit longer for a few more years in the ground. So, yeah, you could come up with another plant that will, you know, live for 7 years or so instead of 2 to 3.
Does that help, Pat?
Yeah, but, I mean, right now, what should I, you know, just forget about them? Or
No, you can't do anything with those guys. I mean, I tried cutting one of mine back. I mean, I cut it back severely, and it just was barely coming back alive, and it said, you shouldn't have done that to me. And so, yeah, it's a short-lived perennial. So, yeah, you can't do anything with that. You get tired of looking at it, pull it out.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Pat. Take care.
Let's grab one more call since Pamela's on the line. Would like to talk about her plum tree. So let us do that now, calling from Sebastopol this morning. Hi, Pamela. What can we do for you on Garden Talk this morning?
Okay. We have a Satsuma plum, and it's quite old. We've pruned it back pretty heavily every year. It's loaded with beautiful plums, but it has a lot of the plums are just totally like moldy, like they've got some mold or growth on them, which is quite unsightly. And the leaves have consistently over the last few years looked like peach leaf curl and maybe have some little bites out of them. And we're trying to be as organic as possible. I don't know, like, how to prune it. Should I prune it earlier? Should I be spraying it after the plums are done? What should I be doing to get rid of that? It's just, they're, like, a hard, totally moldy plum.
Could we take a break right now for a couple minutes? We've got the question. We're going to come back. Can you hold on for just a couple minutes, Pamela?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. We'll be right back and get into plum care right after this.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Congratulations to Eloisa.
I graduated this June of 2019. I did the specialized degree, associate's degree for medical, so I always was able to get extra help by any of the staff there, teachers. It was really great. That's another thing Empire College is really great with, helping you with employment. They're always helping with resumes. It's also something that has really been helpful.
That could have been you. Thanks to input from Sonoma County's top employers, Empire College has redesigned the most popular programs. Now you can earn your associate's degree in an in-demand field in just 18 months, or add to your existing skills with certifications in just 6 months at Empire College. Now you can get the education you deserve for free. That's right. Complete your degree with a free education from Empire Business College. Apply today at empirefreeeducation.com and make 2019 the year you get what you deserve. Empirefreeeducation.com. All entries due by September 4th. You deserve Empire College.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Hun, I was thinking of expanding our outdoor living space with a motorized retractable awning.
I thought you wanted a patio cover.
I did, but then I saw these new retractable awnings in action at Sonoma County Sunrooms. They're sturdy and the quality is top-notch.
So, retractable awning, huh? Sunshine and a covered patio? Sounds like something I could get behind.
Hi, this is David from SocoSun. Our design experts will work with you to create the perfect look for your home. We have so many options to help create your new favorite room.
You're right. One of these awnings will work great. What a wonderful way to expand our living space outdoors.
And it'll help add equity to our home, and we can still have it done in time for summer. Let's go check out the showroom.
And maybe we can stop for dessert on the way home.
Call to schedule a consultation in-home or at the Sonoma County Sunroom Showroom. Sunrooms, patio covers, and retractable awnings. Sonoma County Sunrooms on Santa Rosa Avenue just north of Todd, or online at SocoSun.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Temperatures hit 90 again on Monday. Today, though, at 84, 67 on the coast and sunny skies. Mostly clear tonight, low 55, 52 on the shores. Partly cloudy for tomorrow at 86, 68 in Bodega Bay. Monday, blue skies at 91, 70 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
You can reach us live in the KSRO greenhouse, as you have been able to since 1987. We've been here. We've never left in 32 years. Gwen and Steve, 636-1350 for a live one-on-one on-air conversation. Or if you prefer, you can always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. And that way you can attach a photo or two or three or four and describe in more detail exactly what you're experiencing. But we're chatting with Pamela from Sebastopol about a plum tree that's just not producing well and seems to have some problems. Gwen, have you been able to think this through for a bit?
Well, it sounds like what happened to my Satsuma plum tree years ago. And I gave it one pruning cut. And that was to the ground.
Oh.
Yeah, I cut it down to the ground. It could have a bacterial canker, or it's called bacterial blast, or maybe there's brown rot going on with the fruit because maybe there's poor air circulation in there. Is the tree in sun all day long?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
It is.
That's good. Okay. It's an old tree.
My husband, it's an old tree. I thought a number of years ago we thought it was dead, but then it came back. And like I said, I've got lots of plums.
Yeah.
But
they're rotting.
But they're like bunches, you know, they're like bunches of grapes. And I tried to get up and thin some, but it's the ones up high, I couldn't do that. And we've been awfully busy, so I couldn't go out and thin the plums.
So
I was just asking, how's the quality of the fruit that you do get?
Oh, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So the skin of the fruit has like, you want to call it like a grayish brown, fuzzy looking, rotting look to it?
Yeah, but then they become like, they're pieces of fruit that are just totally solid, moldy.
It could just be poor air circulation, mm-hmm. because you have so many fruit and they're all clustered together. So there's a fungus that flies around and it hits it. It's called brown rot. Maybe it's a gray mold or something. One of those funguses that's difficult to control, you know, once the season kicks in and the plant is going. So yeah, thinning would have been more thinning would have been beneficial to the tree. What I suggest you could do is in the winter when you prune the tree back, you know, rake up all those leaves as best you can to get rid of all of them and get rid of all your prunings and spray with copper, you know, the copper spray out there. That will help. You know, it could have a shot hole fungus. That's another one, because you said the leaves look like they're eaten, but there's probably just holes in them, which that's where the spore hits, and then the leaf tissue dies out, and the wind blows, and it blows that dead stuff away, and it looks like it got hit with a shotgun.
Yeah, so it also looks like a major peach leaf curl.
Yeah, and that's another thing. That's a bacterial problem. And then the branches look like they're dying back a bit, the very tips of the branches.
Yeah. A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. It's very difficult to control that. Like I said, a copper spray in the wintertime would be your best bet. Just a one-time good soaking, you know, spraying, I should say, would be helpful. And make sure that it's not going to rain for the next 5 days after you've sprayed it. Use a spreader sticker with it to make sure that product stays on the tree. Okay?
I thought I did that, but didn't do it. Hello?
Yeah, that's what
I thought I did that.
Yeah, see, that's why I said it's difficult. It's a difficult disease. You've got a couple things going on there. Plus, the age of the tree is not helping either. You know, it's difficult for an older tree to fight off some of these issues.
Now, is it going to, in fact, I have a new apricot, which really hasn't done much because of our area. But is it going to infect the apricot tree? Not right next to it, but...
Probably not. Apricots have their own issues. So you want to prune back your apricot tree in maybe September, October. Don't do any late winter pruning. So that'll be okay.
What about the plum? Because it gets these long branches.
Another plum?
No, this one. The branches...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Some branches that had just nothing but bad fruit on them, I clipped off.
Mm-hmm.
But do you prune the plum the same time as the apricot or later?
Later. You could do the winter pruning on the plum tree, and then after you're finished pruning, you can spray with the copper spray. That way you'll get the copper on any wounds, you know, the pruning cuts. And the whole tree is covered. You can see, and all the fruit and the leaves are taken off the tree, so you're not spraying anything but the tree itself.
Right.
Okay. The thing is, if you don't do anything about this every year, and depending on the weather, it gets worse and worse, and eventually it's going to take your tree, which is what it did to mine. So I had to, my tree's gone. So it's a pain in the neck. Yeah, that disease or those two diseases are a pain in the neck. But do whatever pruning you can to help increase air circulation and the spraying, and then keep your fingers crossed.
And there's your answer, Pamela.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Good talking with you. And you do have your work cut out for you, but I understand when you have delicious fruit, you're very reluctant to get rid of a tree. Via email, we had a question from Linda Galloway. Linda writes to us, and she says, my trees look sad. It has fruit, but seemed to stay green for a long time. Maybe it's really a lime tree? Any suggestions? I'll listen for your answer. And she has some photos here for us. In a pot, and it's hard to tell.
I wonder if she thinks she planted lemons, and she's thinking that they're mislabeled and they're limes. And these look like, okay, so for everybody to look, to get a visual, they're those round kettle-looking terracotta pots, probably about a foot wide and a foot deep.
Here we are.
So they're pretty small, and it looks like she planted 1 gallon size limes or lemons.
Yeah.
Probably a lemon. Lemons are what she planted. And because they're staying green for so long,
that's why she's thinking they're limes, because they're very green. But then they yellow up when they're mired.
Yeah, this is real. They take a long time. Yeah. They take almost a year sometimes to produce, to go from start to finish with citrus. So they won't be ready until like November, December, January, if it's a lemon or a lime.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, though, they're looking kind of not as green and healthy as they should be. The leaves are curling a bit. That's a physiological thing because it's too hot. The weather's too hot. Then it's too cold. Then it's too hot. These pots are way too small for these plants. And unfortunately, they're fruiting here. So you really hate to disturb them while they're fruiting because they just might drop their fruit. But they're not going to look any better and they're not going to do any better if you don't get them in bigger pots. So you're going to have to bite the bullet and do it.
Can't you do it in December, January?
No.
No.
They're looking like they ran out of soil. They ran out of water. They ran out of food. They're just hanging on there. And the fruits, they might continue to grow or they might just stay stunted like that. And the plant says, I can only do one thing here. I'm starving and I need more food and water and I can't make fruit and keep myself alive all at the same time. In these small containers. So what I would do is wait for a cool spell in the weather, get some pots that are like 2 or 3 times bigger than these guys, and get some good planting mix. And in the evening, when it's cooler, then you can take these plants out of these pots and transplant them. Make sure the root ball is wet. The thing is with these kettle-looking pots is that the openings are small at the top, and then it widens out, and then it gets narrow again at the bottom. When these plants, if you kept them in there for another year or so, it's going to be impossible to get it out of the pot. So transplant them sooner than later and keep them watered.
There you go, Linda. We will get to how to tell when your corn is ready to be picked right after this break. We promise.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brett Musburger. Please join me for...